Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Plus, free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Bend the Knee, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I am Sir Jimmy of House Nuts. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today we are into episode 4 of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which for me, I mean, I loved. It was my favorite episode of the season. But Matt, what did you think?
I liked this episode. I don't know that I loved this episode. Okay. I loved moments of this episode, but I think, and not saying this is bad television, you know, by any means. I mean, by saying it's my probably least favorite of the season so far, I mean, it's still better than plenty of other shows. I mean, something has to be probably my least favorite episode. And I think we were like this on House of the Dragon, where sometimes it's like, man, I love this episode. And you're like, I like, you know, so... I mean, it's still like a...
Me and you are never on the same page. That's why we're good co-hosts.
I'd probably go 3.5 stars out of 5.
It's insane.
On this. And yes, we are doing this live. We're definitely just going to get our reaction to the episode first. I'll throw comments up and then we'll probably do a lot more interacting with them once we're done going here. So for everyone who is here hanging out... Yes, and because people are going to be listening on the podcast, since we're not doing both this week, we're doing a live and the podcast itself. So Jimmy, I mean, dive into it, man? What, I'll get your thoughts and then I'll talk about mine and then we'll just go back and forth.
And are we talking full spoilers?
Yes, 100%. Okay. I don't think we'll really too crazy because we're just kind of talking about an event in a moment.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know if there's any other friend I have where I am so opposite. Like me and you are we never align on anything. Like it could be football, video games. It's just like me and Matt are just, we're just never aligned. But you know, that's good. It's variety. So what didn't you like about it? Because 3.5, I would say, on for your average of rating is pretty low.
Right. Yeah, I think for me, this is the first episode where, I mean, first of all, obviously amazing, like Lionel Baratheon knighting, freaking sweet.
Mm-hmm.
An amazing scene. The opening scene I actually thought was better than in the book. I felt like there was a little more tension to it. I think overall, this is the first episode that I felt needed an extra 5 minutes, not like an extra 10 to 20, like needed to be an hour episode, but I felt like scenes in this episode could have used a few more minutes of screen time to breathe. Right. And it literally could have just been a few more dramatic pauses here and there. But I felt like, I don't want to use the word rushed, but I felt like some of the scenes felt a little quick. And that, so that's not just saying like the episode is short, I want more, like has people have been saying. And the only thing people have been saying that is because it's so good, we want more. I felt like the pace of this episode felt just a little quick and scenes didn't have enough time to breathe. Specifically, the final scene. And I did not like the fart joke at all.
I get it. I agree with that. Yeah.
My problem with it, and I understand what they were trying to do. And so it's not necessarily that I'm like, oh man, I just think fart jokes are stupid. Like Marvel does that. I mean, they don't necessarily do fart jokes. But my problem with it in this episode was you have set the tone by having like the Sir Arlen funny scene and Dunk pooping, you know, at the beginning, that this show is lighter. So when you get to serious moments, you need to let them be serious. And I understand what they were going for, which is we want to make it seem like nobody's going to stand with Dunk. The problem is that then you immediately bring in, you do this like, you're building tension. Now you have a joke, which is supposed to be dire. Like, it's supposed to make the situation actually more dire and be like, oh no, like they're like laughing at Dunk. And instead, then you cut to Baylor Bakespear coming in and the Game of Thrones music's playing. And it's like, okay, that is the only way to course correct, which I felt was cool. But I think that would have been better would have been like almost pure silence. Like nobody is standing for Dunk. And then you just zoom in on him and you begin to see his face. Like it actually oddly would have worked in Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon, because those shows are so serious that if you had that moment, then it, the direness sets in more, because it's like, but you've already kind of had this slapstick comedy tone a little bit that I felt like it kind of pulled back from the scene just a little bit, if that makes any sense. So I just didn't particularly like that. Other than that, epic moments, but I do feel ultimately like even the scene at the table, I felt like, man, it's just like the pacing felt, the pacing of this episode just felt a little weird off to me. And so I think maybe that's just with the shorter runtime, but I feel like, man, even one to like literally 2 to 3 minutes to have scenes just breathe a little more would have done a lot for this episode.
Yeah. So first, I do agree with you. I think the quip definitely undercuts the scene. I think the scene would undoubtedly be better without it. Like I totally agree with that. And I told you that was one of my main concerns, is like Hollywood is just loves it. Like they love to make sure that you know you shouldn't take this serious. Like it drives me nuts. And you're right, the intent is probably to show how dire it is, but you could have done it in a different way. You could have had one of the noble houses call out and, you know, call him an ass or whatever, right? Throw something at him. I don't know.
Even if he had stood up and spat, I think it would have made it would have kept the tone going in the right direction instead of this court. Then you have to course correct.
Yeah. It gives a little dip, and it's kind of like a, you know, it's like a false finish in wrestling. Like it's kind of like you're supposed to dip and then come back up. Right. So for me, I agree with that. Actually, that's 100%. That's my only real complaint about the episode. The pacing I loved, and I'll tell you why, is because, you know, we're moving towards the crescendo, the climax of the show. And I think whenever Dunk is given this, you know, challenge or sentence or however you want to say it, like when you're staring death in the eyes, I feel like all you want to do is slow down time, but it actually speeds up. And that's what it felt like to me. It felt like this rushing towards the inevitability that he was going to die. And I thought the pace like reflected that. So I really liked it. I honestly, I thought like the blacksmith scene was really well done. I thought it had tons of air to breathe. I actually got kind of choked up during that scene. There's something about, and maybe it's just because the world, I feel like the world's not as bad as it seems, but it's pretty bad. And I think like small acts of kindness really have an impact on me, because like, I don't know, I just don't see them that often, I guess. Cause you know, we're kind of surrounded by negativity and what we see online and whatever, but yeah, I don't know why, but that like deeply affected me. I know some people are worried about the Humphreys, but like for the show watchers, I don't know
it's
if they're
pretty
need...
small. It's a well, pretty I don't small. Think
that, yeah. For the reader. Sure. But like for the general audience, like, we could think they're missing out on it, but in reality, they probably won't even need to know, right? But I mean, I will agree with you in the sense that I would have liked maybe 5 or 10 more minutes, but I didn't think that the pacing was necessarily off. Like, I don't know if I would have changed any of the scenes. I maybe would have added some more and trying to garner support.
And that's what I'm saying too. And actually, somebody had a great comment here. I know I would have liked to have seen a scene between Lionel and Egg. Yeah, I think because we've added so much to this, I agree that that would have been a really cool scene. But I can see how you want to do it. You here comes Egg saving the day, as opposed to us going with Egg to see him save the day. It's just two different ways to tell the story. So I think what they were trying to do in this episode is the focus was on Egg last week, which was great. And now we're shifting back to the focus being on Dunk, and you want it to seem like things just kind of go his way. I mean, still a very good episode, some great moments in it. I loved the explaining of the trial of Seven. I thought that was great. Steely Pate, once again, for his literally like 3 minutes of screen time, has been excellent. And so next week is going to be the fighting. I think next week's going to be good. I will say the character that stood out to me actually the most in this was Makar, even for, again, how short of a scene he has in his like maybe 4 or 5 lines. I felt like knowing what's going to come with that character here in the next few episodes, I guess we can still keep it a little spoiler free. I think I'm excited to see more of him. Right.
Yeah, definitely. I thought there was a lot of really amazing scenes. I mean, the shield scene, someone put it side by side to the graphic novel, and it's like perfect. Like the shield, they knocked that out of the park. Also, seeing Egg in the Targaryen gown was like oddly depressing. And then his conversation with Dunk at the beginning of the episode was so good. Like when everyone's like, dry your eyes, boy. Like, whoo. That got me, man. This kid, Dexter, is that his name? This kid.
Dexter Stahl, he's amazing.
All-time performance for a child actor. Dude, child actors are I don't think they're very good, usually. Like Game of Thrones is very fortunate that most of the child actors were actually really good. That continues here, I think. And House of the Dragon.
He might be the best.
Dude, he's incredible.
Which is crazy considering like some of the performances we've had by really young kids. I think he's even, he might be we have to look up the ages.
He's really young.
Dude,
Matt, when he talks about how he went to Lionel, but before that, he's swinging the axe in the background. It's like not a scene, but if you look in the background, he's sitting there going, it is so funny, dude. I laughed out loud. It was great.
He is phenomenal. So in my notes, I said the opening scene is a bit more harsh than in the books, but in a good way. It feels like in the books, maybe this is just the audiobook, because obviously if you're reading it, it's open to interpretation, but it feels like it's a little more, Doug is a little more somber in the book, at least from Harry Lloyd's presentation of it. Whereas this, he's more yelling at Dunk, like Egg, hey, you shouldn't do this. And so Egg is taken aback. And so I actually appreciated that. And I loved it. I thought it was better than in the books.
Yeah, he's doing a great job of showing that emotion and kind of like turning a gear. Like, as we said, Dunk is beginning to see the reality of things and he's beginning to change his attitude and he's becoming more aggressive. I mean, he goes after but I mean, he went after him. He's like, they can't kill me twice.
Yeah, I said some of the notes I had. So then you get to the scene of him and Baelor when they're speaking. Said cinematography amazing again. I said whoever's running the dolly is working wonders. Like literally just like the panning shots. I'm just like with the candles, the small lit candles, freaking amazing. Just to protect the innocent. That's what he says. You know, one need not intend harm to do it. And I do feel like the message of this episode, which was, what does it mean to be a knight? A true knight who stands around
you.
Yes, was perfectly displayed in everything they're talking about. And I said, some other notes I had. After that conversation, I said, my note was, this shows why this is George Martin's best written story. Not short story, just best written story, which is why, we've been a big proponent of this. I think they explained this a little better in the show with him not necessarily, you can tell he doesn't want to fight Dunk one-on-one. I think he knows Dunk would beat him. You can see that a little more clearly in the show. He also does think Dunk won't be able to gather enough champions. So then it kind of puts him in the spot of like, well, I gave him an opportunity. So he's not just like, oh, I'm going to kill you for being it, which is at least as in terms of our villains, right? I mean, that's like very small, but still playing the Game of Thrones.
Right? A little bit there, right?
You are still playing the Game of Thrones a little bit with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can honestly feel, obviously, I mean, there's Targaryens on both sides. So there's obviously strife But I think they've done a pretty good job of showing that little bickering back and forth, them not being on the same page. Obviously, the contrasting hair color also adds to it. But you really do feel like House Targaryen is on like feeble legs. And with Bossaway, I'm forgetting the name. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. The guy that turns sides.
Well, I have that, and I have this joke here, and I caught this. I said, roll on floor laughing when Lionel Baratheon says, who the F is Stevron? And it's Stephen. So I was like, oh my God.
Dude, Lionel is
the Crispin. It was Crispin Cole joke all over again, but I thought it was even better, right? Like, the Crispin is funny because Daemon clearly knows. And so it's an insult.
But Lionel here,
Lionel does it. And so he's just like, who the fuck is Sir Stevron? And I thought that was hilarious.
He's aces, man. And I know they're giving him more screen time and they, you know, maybe aren't giving other people. But when it comes to the visual medium, like, you got to kind of play to the strengths and who you're also paying more money to. So they're going to get their uses out of him. And I think he's phenomenal.
Amazing. I mean, everything they've done with him being an addition, he is by far the best expanded character,
most enhanced for sure.
But
thanks. Yeah. I always forget the Fossaway's name. I don't know why that is.
Stefan and Raymond.
I always end up forgetting. But
I didn't have many notes this episode, and then I said night scene is effing amazing. And then I said fart joke, didn't like it. And I said then my final note was, they did the best course correct they could have, which was to bring in the Game of Thrones music to set up this scene.
Yeah, I mean, I also love this as a callback to episode one. I remember there was a couple reactions that we saw where people weren't super keen on them basically shitting on the Game of Thrones.
Now they've done the opposite.
Well, and also I think it's a good way of building up Dunk. It's because Dunk is terrified. His bowels have turned to water. And he's going into something he's weighing over his head in. And now he's actually stood up for what a knight is. So he's kind of, it's almost like the show has earned that.
Sure.
And it just feels like a transformation. Like, oh, we got you. This is actually going to be as epic as Game of Thrones. Just wait for the next episode kind of deal. Also, Baelor's entrance was sick.
It was sick. Yeah. And maybe streaming, once we've seen it all, I'll feel different because next episode is the battle. And... Yeah. Now, here we go. Some comments. Now that I think about it, the fart scene just killed the scene.
I don't think it killed it.
To be fair, it wasn't like the way Marvel does it, where Marvel feels like they constantly need jokes.
If it was Marvel, Dunk would have farted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, in a way, it still was like, because the guy stands up and, if you're not watching, if you're going into this first time, you're thinking, oh, here's some guy, who's it going to be? And then then everyone laughs. But that's where I felt like, even if you did go that route, you needed just a little bit more, a few more, like 30 seconds more could have really shown the despair on Dunk's face. Maybe you pan and you show people talking like, is anyone going to join him or is this guy going to die? Right. I mean, something like that, I think would have then helped Baelor Breakspear's entrance be that much more epic. So this is the only episode I've really had like a criticism of, and so that's why I'm at just under 4 stars, so not necessarily 3.5, maybe like 3.75, which still great episode of television, like just in terms of television, great episode, still, you know, cinematography, lighting, acting, much better than other shows that exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I mean, even this, I agree with that. That's the piece I didn't like about the episode, the only piece really. But to me, it was still like my favorite. I think it was the most fun I had watching it. And also, I think it's an episode that is a little bit difficult to do because you know it's building up to the battle scene, right? Like you see the runtime, we're halfway through the episode, like, okay, we're not going to get the battle. So a lot of people... end an episode, they go, okay, it was fine, but like, let's wait for the real episode next week. And I just think as a kind of a setup episode, it was exactly what they needed. Also, we keep saying it, but I think if you view these 6 episodes back to back to back to back, I think it's just going to be an incredible experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, this show will feel so different when you can stream it as one event.
Yeah, man. What about
I Arion? I almost think they should. Maybe they should just, could they do that where they just drop it as like an abridged version where you can just like, I don't know why, I don't know why Netflix and some of these shows don't, you have to pay people royalties and air the credits and all that stuff, but just to where you could basically just like watch it as one thing.
I mean, at this point you can basically do that, but to play next episode, skip cuts.
Like, right.
I skip recap every time I don't watch it. So, I mean, I think when you're watching, it's kind of how it feels. I've been doing that with The Diplomat on Netflix. Pretty good show. It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other show I'm watching right now is The Pit, which I haven't watched.
I haven't watched it today either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
What about Arion, by the way? Whenever they, when an egg basically explains why he wants him to die.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
It was better than in the book.
Oh, man. It made me feel like egg.
Because even like the throwing the cat down the well, in the book, it feels like an additional piece. But in here, you could actually feel it. Like, he says he didn't, but I know Egg is brought more to life in this than in the book by far, because in the book I'm generally more focused on Dunk reading it than I am Egg. So everything he does in the show feels that much better to me.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It's just
aided by the fact that, as we've said a million times, Dr. Saul, that kid is, I mean, crushing it. I mean, like, I mean, it's, he might be literally, he's up, he might be in my top five best characters in terms of character, like the, from the book to the show. I mean, he's probably edged his way up there.
Yeah, dude. I think he reminds me a lot, and I was very like partial to this performance, but like really young Arya in the earlier seasons, I really like Macy Williams as Arya, and I kind of feel that same appreciation for this performance. But yeah, it might be my favorite kid actor out of all of them, just nailing it. And also, I think, again, we said this last few weeks, but the facial acting here with the facial expressions is so good, and I think it's helping with the shorter runtime. They're almost able to like relay more emotion because they're relying on those things to not take up too much or run for too many minutes. But yeah, Arion sucks. I mean, he's a great character, but God, I hate him. I hate him so much.
It is already on our poll, the highest rated episode, with the last week's being. And it will probably continue. And there's my vote. My liked it.
I thought yours was going to be the thumbs down.
No, not the thumbs down.
I would hope not.
Okay. Anything else, Jimmy? Any other thoughts, comments? And then we'll start looking at some of the comments here on the live stream.
The armor was amazing, dude. And I like the scenery, like the big gate, everything about it felt big. It felt like it was monumental, especially for the size of the crowd. Just continues to kind of blow me away. And the music was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And when I listened to the credits, it was doing the Game of Thrones theme, and then it did kind of shift a little bit, kind of, and it brought in some other music again. I love that it's raining more, you know, and honestly, I've read the book so many times, I've never really thought about that scene being this foggy. Right.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's rainy, but I could be wrong.
Well, it's just in the graphic novel, it seems like it's sunny. And
is it? Okay.
Yeah. And so maybe that's just my interpretation of it. But man, I do like the fog more. I think that is a better idea of having it be foggy and add in a little bit of despair.
Yeah, it fits the mood. I mean, Dunk is essentially walking into his death, or at least it feels like it. The tides have turned, though. He has his seven. Man, the knighting scene where Dunk's going to have to knight Foss away. I was like, fake knights making new knights. What has this world come to?
Yeah. All right, here, I'm going to pull up Twitter here and just show what some of the people are talking about, and then we'll do those comments. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms proves that dragons were not the magic ingredient in the success of Game of Thrones. It was George R.R. Martin.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, no dragons in the Night of Seven Kingdoms, no White Walkers, no massive battles for the throne. That's an older thing, but it still, I think, resonates with everything we've seen here. So go to latest. Each episode has been better than the one before. Night of the Seven Kingdoms, man. People don't like the 30-minute episode. Again, that's in Spanish, so I have no idea what they're saying, even though I was just there. People loving it. Yeah, so, all right, let's pull up some of our comments here. Each episode is getting better and better. That's kind of how we've
Matt disagrees. Matt thinks the show's going off the rails.
I do not think the show's going off the rails.
He's out. He's gonna go rewatch Stranger Things or something.
No. Baylor's entrance with the throne with the throne's main theme gave me chills. Probably my favorite moment of the season. Getting good. Episode 5 preview is insane. Yeah, I don't watch the previews. I just wait.
Yeah, I sometimes will during House of the Dragon, but for these 30-minute episodes, I'm just like, I'll just wait. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, that I agree. So this is what I was talking about, adding just a few more minutes. Felt that way in episode 3. Episode 3 is my favorite of the season so far, and I think top 10. You didn't feel that. You didn't think, last week, I was like, it might be like top 10, top 5. Oh,
I said it was top 15. I said it was top 15. No, you were definitely more on the top 5.
Yeah, it was the summer hall bit for me. I was like, what?
Yeah, summer hall was sick.
We haven't talked about that since. We did like a Blood Raven thing last week, but I didn't realize until after we pressed record that woman who plays the fortune teller is the same woman who plays the person at the inn.
The inn.
Now what do we think of that?
Do you want to know what my crackpot theory is?
She heard Darren speaking and she goes there thinking she can make some money.
Well, what if Darren was hallucinating because Weirwood paste or something, like we see Alice Rivers giving Damon in House of the Dragon, right? And he's laying on a Weirwood bed and all this stuff. And I was like, well, what if the innkeeper is actually manipulating Damon? Like, I went off the rails. It's clearly not the case, but I think that birthmark is, we should go back and look at her.
I don't think she has one.
So it very likely could be.
Yeah. Unless she's meant to be a different character and they just thought that it would work.
They thought we wouldn't notice.
Well, could be. Yeah, I would have liked to see Lionel Baratheon. I saw people saying they think the fortune teller isn't Blood Raven and it's just repeating what she heard from Darren, which what I just said. I still think it's a Blood Raven, though. Agreed. I think it's Blood Raven.
I hope it's Blood Raven. If not, C-Star would also be fine.
Yeah, opening scene with Starry Night Sky stuff. That was amazing, too. I was trying to look in the constellation to see if I saw anything. I'm sure people will break it down, and I bet there is. I bet you might be able to see something, like the Warrior or any of those things.
That'd be cool.
And dunk with the rat. Shocked, this was my least favorite. Dexter has been amazing. Yeah, Maekar and Baylor's armor looks insane. Yeah, the Targaryen armor looks so good.
Best armor in the series, in my opinion.
Yeah, just so good. Okay, so she has the mark on her face that kind of shows it. So when she's in the inn.
I mean, it technically could still be Blood Raven who is taking care of Darren, right?
Well, I guess my thought would be, This is my thought on it, would be Blood Raven hears, clearly something has to get out that the king, the two princes have gone missing. Yeah. And Maekar doesn't, and when I thought about this too, Maekar doesn't seem that worried about it. So either he doesn't care or he knows.
I would probably list under not caring. Like Maekar seems half checked out.
I think he knows. I think Blood Raven said, no, here's where they're at. Here's what's going on.
Oh, so you think he's getting intel? Okay. That's kind of interesting. I could see that. I mean, the bottom line is that they're going to do some stuff to link the seasons instead of it being just purely episodic. Like they're going to need hooks to move into season 2 on. And I just think Blood Raven's the most obvious one, but maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, like I've said before, I think he's going to be the glue that holds the three series together. Yeah, I think he's going to be. Plus, again, you can do something like we said. I mean, if you have a end credit scene in which Blood Raven, or that woman, let's say she is Blood Raven, unglamours back to being, and you see the birthmark and you say, oh man, you know, he was, because a lot of show people like wasn't, because a lot of show people won't put it all together because he's never called Blood Raven in Game of Thrones.
That's true. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's just called the Three-Eyed Raven.
Brendan Rivers, I think, does get used, right?
No.
His name's not mentioned in the main show?
Oh, nope. He's the Three-Eyed Raven. He's not bad. The Three-Eyed Crow, but he's the Three-Eyed Raven in the show. And oh, so man.
I would love the subtlety of a mark being on the face, giving away that it's a glamour. Like, that's the kind of subtlety that, to be fair, like the main series did do at times, but that's a subtlety from the books that we love, like the little pieces that you can put together. So if the show were to do something that subtle, I'd be really happy with it. And maybe some people don't think it's subtle at all, but I do.
Yeah, I do feel they will do something to tie this to House of the Dragon and build up hype for House of the Dragon season 3. I mean, if you have, that's your little Marvel end credits scene that you could do.
See, I was more so thinking, like, leaving, like, I want more to season 2 of Dunkin' Egg, but you're thinking it'll be more of a connection between the two.
To House of the Dragon.
Two shows. Yeah. Interesting.
There's really nothing. The way this ends, season 1 will end. I mean, I feel like it's pretty ended that season 2 is going to be cool. Because it ends, because it's, now we know that they're going to go off on adventures together.
Yeah, that's true. I would just imagine they would want a little bit more of connective tissue between them, but maybe not. I mean, I don't even
necessarily I don't really know what you could do to connect to season 2.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's going to be like part of them adapting, is like having to come up with something. Like maybe Rohan Weber's there and at the end and she's like, come with me or something. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but I do wonder, because the second novella is usually people's least favorite, and I'm very curious if people will feel that way about the show.
You want to know what? It's my most favorite.
Is it really? Oh, I'm not saying I'm not saying it's my least favorite.
Of the three, it's my favorite.
Do you like it more than the third?
Yeah.
I love Mystery Night. I love them all, though. I really do.
They're all good. And the reason I like the second one so much is, one, it's, you get the, you're hearing all about the Blackfyres.
Which
is cool. And I love that it feels even smaller than the tournament, than season 1 to me.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm wondering. It's a little slower, because,
I mean, it's literally just like a squabble amongst town folks, whereas the other two have somewhat big implications, right? I mean, the third one is literally Blood Raven shows up and it's like, okay, now we're dealing with,
it's
like
getting
an actual Blackfyre rebellion, stuff's going on. And this one is like, it's still a tourney and you have some big houses there, where the second one, it's like tiny little houses. I mean, maybe have 4 people to their lands.
And it's cost of war, right? Like these people are dealing with the fallout and their families and everything. So, I mean, I love it. I'm super in, but I wonder how the general audience will feel not having like this major climb. I'm wondering if they'll spruce it up a little bit. We'll have to see. Obviously, we don't know yet, but I love what Christy said. The starry ceiling reminded me of the ancient art of the others at Dragonstone before it came into full focus. I'd have to go back and look, but that seems pretty interesting.
Okay. I want to go back. I need to go back and look at that. And I think people will break it down, because like I said, you might be able to see some constellations. She also just left a really good comment saying, I thought that red-haired woman in the crowd that paused on her for a couple seconds was Rohan Weber. And that is somebody we've said, maybe that is your connective tissue unto season 2.
Could be.
And because remember, there was that cast person, but I think it was just that prostitute who was laying on the bed with the
necro weirdo things. Yeah. Well, not, hey,
I bet they know Sir Arlen.
I'll tell you what, when Dunk is saying, you know, I served under Sir Arlen, he slept in your cat, you know, I was like, God, he almost made me like appreciate Arlen a little bit more.
Did we didn't see Sir Arlen this episode? Did we only see him in the first 2 episodes?
First 3, but yeah, he wasn't at all in this episode. But he's always mentioned. And I think that's really good. Like, I think that lineage of Dunk, also probably to give us a little bit of reminder that the nighting situation's a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, so Arlen was in the episode. Kind of, yeah, he was mentioned, but we didn't see. There wasn't like a flashback.
But the tree on the shield, pretty excellent, man.
Yeah, flashback.
Oh, okay.
Was he? Did they do?
I'm trying to remember.
I was just watching it and trying and taking notes and everything. He was in the episode when Lionel was knighting.
Right? Yeah, I remember one of the things I
he was. Now. I gotta go back and watch, man. I missed that because see that's the problem. Sometimes then I'm like I'm taking notes and I look down.
I usually watch twice. So yeah, I didn't have today, time today.
Yeah, today I didn't because of the way the episode was. So okay, I'm gonna go back. Maybe I'll go back. You know what? Maybe I'll go back and rewatch the episode and I'll be like, you know, this was a banger. It was the best one, but.
You know what I was writing down in that scene, though? I was writing down, do you think Lionel doesn't think Dunk's a real knight? So he just, like, you know what I mean? He's like, all right.
Right.
But, okay. I'll go back and watch that scene again.
Yeah. Because today's the first. Well, I do, when I do my lives, I literally just hit, it's like, stop. And then I just press play. And that's what I did today. So, but when you and I review, I've had a chance to watch it for a second time. So,
yeah. Today was a bit crazy for me. I usually try to watch the episode twice though if I can.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's kind of it. Again, with these shorter episodes, it's like there's not a ton much more to go about with
that's each great.
Episode with each episode. So thank you guys for watching the live. This will be our only review for this since we did it live together, and then we'll be back, I guess. You know, there's no episode Sunday, so it'll be the following Sunday.
Yeah, a little bit of a longer wait. It is kind of cool that we know we're going for the climax of the show. So it's like that long wait's going to make it even more important for this episode to land. Was that an implication that Dunk was really knighted? Probably, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I can go back and rewatch that scene because I literally, because I saw Lionel, start knighting him. I'm like, this is fucking epic. And then I guess I must have missed it. So I got to go back and rewatch that. That might totally change my opinion of the episode.
It better.
Jeez. So
I'm about to just have Ez come back.
Gee, many Christmas. So yeah, I guess it'll be a bit. I hope everyone has fun with the Super Bowl. Go Seahawks, I guess.
I just want it to be a good game.
Yeah, I don't really have. I mean, I live out here and everybody is obviously a little more pro Seahawks out here. And then I was talking to my buddy Kyle on my Box Truck video game podcast. He lives in Boston. He's a diehard Patriots fan. So I'm like, all right, well, you know.
Which Mike team Rainbow's represents name. Dunk more?
The Seahawks.
You think?
I don't. Yeah.
I feel like Drake May.
Drunk might be a true patriot of Westeros. And trying to serve the realm and everything.
Hey, one other thing about this episode, I got to tell you, I do think that this show is coming out at a very good time. Like yeah, talking about honor and talking about doing what's right for the small, the innocent. Like I think that it's very topical, and this might be one of those cases, like culturally, of a show coming out at the perfect time.
Agreed. 1,000,000,000%.
It didn't take dragons. We kind of glossed over that. Sorry, I have more to say. Dragons. We can go as long as you want. It's not dragons. It's not the blockbuster ridiculous episodes that are great. I love them all. I love Battle of the Bastards. I love all this stuff, right? But you know, the first couple of seasons of Game of Thrones was all about the writing. It was all about the atmosphere, and truly, it was about us connecting with the characters. And one of the things I was thinking about when Dunk was talking to Baylor was just like, man, I care about every single person on the screen. I want to see what Arion does. I want to see what Makar ends up doing. Like there's no one in the cast where I'm like, oh, okay, here's a scene with them. And unfortunately, as much as I have enjoyed House of the Dragon, I can't say that I care about every character. I might enjoy pieces of every character, but I don't care as much. It's also nice because Dunk is just a good dude.
Yeah.
Like if anyone touches Egg, I'm out.
It's why this story is my favorite. It's why I've been harping on it been boasting about it for years. And I'm always telling everyone, if you haven't read it, you need to read it. Whether it's you're reading the book, listening to the audiobook, which I recommend the most, or even diving into the graphic novel. I think it's just all three stories are fantastic. And I hope they just power through and they just do, like, I think even if you did, like, you could say, because of the way you want, you obviously need Egg to be an older king. Maybe you do 3 seasons and then you take 2 years off. I don't know that they need to do this whole, like, let's wait 5 years and or 10 years. And that ain't going to happen.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Who freaking knows? What, I mean, Star Wars didn't even really pull it off, you know, but I mean, like, yeah. I mean, who freaking knows what could happen in those 30 years that you want to do it. Right.
Yeah. And here's the other thing is, like, Egg, the kid, Dexter, is going to grow up. And we know from watching what Stranger Things and
Harry Potter
or the following up season 2 of House of the Dragon. A lot of the actors looked a lot older, specifically Aemon, right? Or
yeah.
Am I remembering right? I'm so bad at names. Anyways.
Who?
Eye patch dude.
Oh, Aemon Targaryen.
Oh, I was right. Sick. Like, he looked a lot older and people were like, oh, geez, he looks like a man now, which is true. So there's a chance that Dexter grows into the role. And also, if they need to change it a little bit, they can. Like, they can change the aging and everything else. Like, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. But worst case scenario, we get another adult actor for Egg.
Yeah. Quick question here. This we'll probably call it after this. What did you, when the prophecy said that you got Dunk will be richer than a Lannister? I guess the way I viewed it was just that he would, obviously, if he becomes a member of the Kingsguard, like,
going up,
then that's a higher title.
But maybe it's also a bit of foreshadowing for a future season where he interacts with the Lannisters a little bit more, possibly.
Yeah,
I'm probably forgetting. There's probably like an obvious thing in the novellas I'm forgetting, but someone will tell us, I'm sure. But, Dunk's dad was a thief, made me think of the Red Wanderer stealing a wife when he's in the moon. We're going deep.
That's some serious deep lore. There's about a year or two between the first and second novella.
I wouldn't count on that being the case in the show, but they could also just say
they're filming seasons 2 back to back, and now they're filming filming 2 and 3 back to back, and they're filming 2. I think they're in 2 right now, so.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, we just have to accept adaptation wise that things have to change, like, just, you know, aging and whatnot. So I would doubt they could probably get away with saying a year has been passed since the first season. I'd be shocked if they try to get us to believe that there's been a second year passing. But honestly, whatever. I can suspend my belief. It's fine.
Yeah. The other difference is, yeah, the thing to think about here real quick, closing note here is, you're going to have to do this stuff back to back to back, because otherwise George will be dead. You're definitely not going to be able to do it in 30. He's not. No, I mean, Ira Parker's plan of, like, well, we'll come back in 5 years and then do it, or we'll come back in 10 years and then do it in 20. He definitely ain't living 20 more years.
Well, he's given him the outline.
I mean, you'd be like, he'd be like 98 at that point. I mean, not many people live into their plus 90s.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But also, he's given them the outline, and I do not believe George will write, like, full episodes if they go beyond season 3. Like, I just don't see it happening. Christy Angel said, richer than Lannister. I took it as he'll be richer in love, richer than Gerald, as she gave her heart to him, not her husband, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Christy, you should, or Kirsty, it says Kirsty. You should start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good
thing. You're in the weeds.
Yeah. The show's amazing. Best one so far in 2026. Yeah, I mean, I have it higher than The Pit right now, which is...
Whoa.
Jimmy's like, whoa, buddy.
Listen, all right, I'll be honest. It's probably tied with The Pit. And that's saying something, because, like, I think Pit's, like...
That's really
good. I think Pit's phenomenal. So...
Yeah. I watch it with my wife, and of course she's explaining everything to me. So it's funny. It's actually when we now we have her show. Like when I'm watching Game of Thrones, she's like, who's this? What's going on? I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. But she's a nurse. And she worked in the ED forever. And so I'm like, wow. Like, what are they doing here? And she's like, okay, well, so, like, they have to pump your blood out in order to do, you know, this or this.
That is like, okay. So funny that you that you each have a show that you have an expertise in. That's amazing.
Any medical shows. That's why we watch Scrubs.
I'm shocked that she would like it still. Like, I imagine she'd be like, I get enough of that at work.
No. She's all about it, man.
I never will forget this, Matt. When I was
in the pit when the last week's episode where the doctor like pulled the glass out. I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I know not to
brutal.
Do that.
That dude, that gave me anxiety. Last story.
She's like that would almost never happen. Like that. Even if a young doctor did that, like they would be so severely reprimanded. Like it would be,
they're out.
Yeah.
Like it's over. And it's her favorite 10 plus years. It's ultra realistic.
So that's my wife says too. Same thing.
Yeah, as far as being Hollywood wise, right?
Yeah. Teresa says that, and she says Scrubs is actually pretty accurate in terms of like that era of shows. So
When I was being wheeled back from my knee surgery, this is the last thing and I'll let you go. I remember, they pump you full of drugs and I'm about to go out. And I remember looking up at the nurse and I was like, you guys are going to pull some like Grey's Anatomy stuff. Is that how this really goes? And she goes, oh, it's worse. And I was out. I came to and I was like, what a time to be alive. The show rocks, dude.
This is great. Is A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, by the way.
I was talking about.
Oh, yes. They're both phenomenal shows. So, all right. With that, guys, hey, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. For those of the people who are on the podcast, since we're doing it both this week. And we'll be back. I'll probably be back to the regular format, this regular format, which will be our, I'll do the live, I guess what it'll be. Man, we don't get another episode till the 15th.
That's insane, man. It's brutal.
Feels far away now.
It does. It makes
why
me
they
sad.
Should just dump all the episodes at once. No, but and then I guess Jimmy and I will probably record on the 16th, President's Day.
Yeah.
So
I have off that day. So perfect.
There we go. All right, guys. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that winter is coming.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed, plus free premium delivery with any bed and base. Ends Monday. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.